Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right, like the dude just said. That's our mantra, and we try to stick with it. And folks, when you hear something on this show, you understand that we know that we're speaking to an audience full of right side ruffians. We got a bunch of folks out there that literally believe like we do. And this show, if this show accomplishes its mission, it will be something that has just, like, you know, entertained you, that has enlightened you, that has empowered you, hopefully, has educated you to the things that are going on around you, sort of pulled together the storylines and given you all you need, like, to walk out the door and go, I'm headed down to that social gathering. I'm going to be at the water cooler tomorrow at work. I may be standing in line at the fast food place, and I'm ready for any conversation because I am solid conservative and just plain right. And we got, that's why we have so many people listening to the show, I think, right now, is because they are getting equipped. And one of the coolest things is when I get feedback, and I get a lot of emails, and I try to answer some. I know I don't get to all of them, but I appreciate the feedback. Every once in a while, I get the folks that don't enjoy the show because they don't agree at all, because they are of the more liberal persuasion. Same thing on my Twitter feed. But nonetheless, I'm enjoying what we're doing, and it is an honor to have this platform. I do not take this for granted. So, there it is. Hey, listen, too, before I go on a little further, I got to tell you real quickly about my friends at etaxbreaks.com. Very cool. eTaxBreaks.com is literally an organization whose sole mission in life, by the way, is to just find you money. Did I get your attention? Their whole mission in life is to find you money. So the way that you run your business that you think is common sense, they look at it and go, oh, look, that qualifies. They will kind of just peruse what your business does, who you hired. Did you hire a veteran? Did you hire a convicted felon to give them a second chance in life? Did you put your business in a certain geographic location you didn't know qualified for benefits? All said and done, what they do is they look at your business, and there's like over 3,000 programs around the nation, and they go out there and they assess how you qualify for different things like tax credits, tax incentives, grants, all those things. And then if they find you money, then they get paid. So they don't get paid at all unless they find you money. And in July alone, they found like over $7 million for their clients in 1 month. Folks, that's huge. And they've got a special landing page just for Right Side listeners, etaxbreaks.com/right side. That's etaxbreaks.com/right side. All right, listen, so we're back on this notion of the states sticking up for you. Sometimes I think, you know, states get it wrong. I think that Governor Gavin Newsom is a knucklehead. Governor Gavin Newsom out in California, he signed a bill just last week, I believe it was, maybe the week before, that literally makes California the first state in the nation to mandate juvenile vaccinations. Mandating them. We don't even have an approved vaccine for minors, but we're going to get them in California. So, yeah, states can get it wrong, and I fully acknowledge that. I'm talking about those of us that live in what's supposed to be a conservative state like Alabama. If you were to look at the polling, you would find that Alabamians overwhelmingly identify as Republican, which also typically means they also identify as conservative. It's possible to be a moderate Republican like a Mitt Romney. It's possible to be a centrist, if you will. But in terms of actual politics, most Alabamians identify as conservative, meaning they appreciate fiscal disciplines. They appreciate things like the strict construction of the Constitution. They do not accommodate the idea of federal overreach very well. The 4th Congressional District, which includes a big chunk of my listening area here, the 4th Congressional District of Alabama had the highest per capita vote for Donald Trump in both 2016 and 2020 of any congressional district in the entire United States. Tells you where we are, all right? There's my audience. Love that. But what I'm saying is this. You have a right to expect that if you are a state of that, you know, political caliber, that those who you elect for representative government, whether it be in the executive branch or the legislative branch, that they are supposedly going to be representing the communities from which they came from. And we're not seeing much right now out of our state officials, like what we just saw out of Governor Abbott. So I'm holding in my hot little hands right here an actual press release from Governor Greg Abbott's office at the state of Texas. And it's the same one that the news story was talking about just before the top of the hour. Governor Greg Abbott issued yesterday afternoon, an executive order stating that no entity in Texas, none, nobody, can compel a vaccination for a COVID vaccine, 19 vaccination on any individual, including an employee or a consumer, who objects to such vaccination for any reason of personal conscience. Did you catch that? It's not just religious exemptions. It's I don't want it. Now, I'm going to go back and say it again. I say it a lot. I am not anti-vax. I'm not. I am not. What I am is pro-liberty. I am of the firm belief that we as Americans have an inherent right to make decisions for self-determination as to whether or not we do or do not want to get this vaccine. I'm also of the firm belief that for some reason, there's this really kind of shady and suspicious inability to allow discussion about things like natural immunities. We talk about them in everything else. Why can't we talk about natural immunities in this? It doesn't seem to fit a narrative somehow. I'm really leery of the fact that we have some important palliative and curative measures that are not allowed for discussion, like ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or the use of monoclonal antibodies. And those things are legit, and real doctors are saying they work, and yet we're not allowed to talk about them. But we have a governor in Texas who said, enough, I'm done with this. You're hurting my state, because he knows for a fact that all these things I told you about, like that story a minute ago, that Alexander City schools are having to tell parents they're not going to be able to feed the kids, and that Dothan City schools are thinking about going back to virtual schooling because they can't feed the kids because the supply chains are so jacked up. Well, Governor Abbott is seeing it as being, you know, potentially even worse as the vaccine mandates get real. Well, keep this in mind, by the way. I said it yesterday. True story, I reported on an article that came out of the Federalist yesterday, and I brought it up on the show, and the story from the Federalist literally said, reminder that none of the vaccine mandates, none of them, not a one, none of Biden's alleged mandates, with the exception of the executive branch employees of the federal government, is actually a mandate right now. It's all just a notion. He has issued no true executive orders for private sector employees. So if your private sector employer is telling you, you got to have a vaccine, that's the employer's decision, not the government's. So when you see things like Southwest Airlines saying, you will all be vaccinated, that's Southwest's decision. That's not because of the mandates, because there is no mandate yet. Is one coming? Probably. It's not there yet, but they chose to go ahead and get on board early. And what we're seeing is a shortage of pilots. We're seeing a potential shortage of truck drivers. We're seeing the supply chain completely just jacked up. And so Governor Abbott said, enough. And he went one step further. You know, talking about our state leadership here in Alabama, Governor Abbott is saying this is an executive order, but he is adding it to the agenda for the special session of the Texas legislature and asking them to please come in, fellas, and pass a law. And if you can get this law passed, I'll sign it, and we'll do away with the executive order. We'll make this law. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's a governor and hopefully a legislature acting in concert on a serious issue to push back on the federal government and say, all right, listen, all right, you guys are not in session yet, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do an executive order knowing that you're coming, and I'm going to put it in the call so you can come down here and pass a law, at which point I'll sign the law, do away with the executive order. We're all good. And it points out that until now, in this article I'm looking at, this article came from Wall Street Journal. Until now, elected officials in Texas have banned governmental entities from requiring vaccines, and they've banned places of public accommodation from requiring vaccines, but they have allowed private businesses to determine whether to require vaccines. You know what's going to be interesting? I believe Southwest Airlines is headquartered in Texas. Curious to see how that pans out. Copper, you got clip one. Is clip one ready? Tell me if it is. All right. Thank you, ma'am. So clip one is there was a pilot who came on Tucker Carlson. I tell you what, I gotta hold it. We're gonna hold this to after a short break. So we're gonna take a short break, come back. I got a pilot who was on Tucker Carlson talking about if they're gonna fire pilots, it's gonna have a huge impact on the economy. Well, Governor Greg Abbott is saying, not in my state. Not in my state, you're not. And it's gonna be interesting to see how this pans out. But I do believe the state of Alabama needs to have its own leadership step up and follow suit, because there is so much at stake. And we cannot sit idly by. It's part of that speaking out that I talked about in my monologue earlier today. It's not just for individual citizens. We need our elected leaders to speak out. In a conservative state like Alabama, it would be extremely well received to see something like what Governor Greg Abbott just did. More on that when I get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Hey, I got some callers on the line. Before I finish up this segment I'm on, I want to hear what they have to say. Let's see. Who was first here? I got line four and five. I think line five, Richard from Ardmore. Hey, Richard, Phil Williams here on Right Side. Nope, Steve's next. Okay, it's too late. Go ahead and go, Richard from Ardmore, line five. Copper, thanks for me. Richard, what's on your mind?
All right, brother. Look here. I've got a question for you. It's not a comment, but so everybody understands, you know, you're a lawyer, right?
I am.
I've been wondering this. You know, I've seen and heard of a lot of people that were had been arrested for child endangerment because, say, a kid wandered out their house, or they was left inside of a car with a car running or something like that. What is the difference between that type of child endangerment, of anything that you can possibly imagine where you would put a child in danger, and you not letting them wear a mask or getting a vaccine when the doctors say that it's something that has to be done to prevent COVID?
Well, first of all, I think you have to look at the fact that there is no statutory law in the state of Alabama that says that this mandate is in effect. So if you got a parent or legal guardian, they have a legal responsibility to make medical decisions for the minors in their care. And so the first thing I would say, Richard, is that if there's a doctor who has advised them that there is a no need for a mask, or if a doctor has advised them that there's no vaccine available to that child yet, then why would a parent be hang on, Richard, I'm not done yet. Why would a parent then be legally required to do anything? So you're suggesting that because they didn't have their child wear a mask or get a shot they're not otherwise eligible for, that somehow or another they're legally or criminally at fault, and there's nothing in the law that says that.
To me, the question is, you know, if the law says that, say, a kid that's 15, 16 years old that should be eligible to get a vaccine or should wear a mask, and the mother or father says, no,
but the
I'm
law
not
doesn't say that.
To them, and that child comes down with COVID because
Richard, the law does not say that. There's nothing in the law that says that. You have policies being put in place by school boards. You do not have a law in the state of Alabama that says the child must wear a mask or the parents are criminally liable. There is no law that says that.
I'm not saying that.
Richard, I got to take another call right now. I'm not going to argue with you all day, but the reality is what you want some legal action against parents who have chosen a certain route for their kids. And the truth be told, there is no legal right for you to make that claim. There's none. There's nothing that exists in statutory law. Now, if the legislature wants to codify something, we can deal with that then. But right now, there is nothing in terms of child endangerment with regards to whether or not a 2-year-old is told to wear a mask. There can be a school policy, and they can be disenrolled from the school based upon school policies, but there's nothing that says the parent is criminally liable. And real quick, I'm going to run to the phones for Steve from Tennessee. Hey, Steve, Phil Williams from Right Side. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, I was just going to say in Tennessee that I talked to my representative. This is District 92 that represents the counties just north of Marshall County, Lincoln County, Franklin. Anyway, the governor did not want to call a special session for vaccine mandates and to fight back against that, but he did want to call one for the Ford plant that's coming. Well, the legislature said, you know what, we'll call ourselves into special session. So what's going to happen is the governor's going to get his special session then the legislatures will have theirs immediately thereafter. With I think they had to have a two-thirds majority of both houses to make this happen. But he's told me that there were already like 30 bills on trying to push back on this mandate, that, very similar to what's happening with Texas. So just man, let you know, Tennessee and Texas are on the same path.
That is awesome. And Steve, thanks for that heads up on that. And that's something that I wish Alabama.
His name is Todd Warner, if you want to get in touch with him. Good guy.
Yeah, Todd Warner. I'm writing that down right now, as a matter of fact. And I may sure enough give him a holler. And I tell you what, when we get off here, if you want to give Copper his contact information, I would appreciate it because I may sure enough give him a call and ask him for his insights on how they did that. So we don't have a situation in Alabama that's very similar because our legislature has shown no political will in that regard. But they also, by the way, don't have the ability to call themselves into special session. It's going to have to be something that the governor is willing to do, or they're going to have to do it in the regular session come January. But right now, I ain't hearing boo out of them. Not a word. And it bothers me. Because other states are making hay out of this, to include our neighbors to the north, apparently. Steve from Tennessee just filled us in on that. That's big doings, y'all. And we come back, I'm going to tell you some more about what even all the way down to local mayors and city councils are saying about these mandates. It's you have a right to be protected. You have a right to expect your leadership to represent the communities that they come from because they're supposed to be reflective or representative of you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. I'm sitting here looking at the menu for Just Love Coffee Cafe, and I'm thinking, dang. So I'm trying to figure out what I would want right now. So some of you guys are already getting your keys in hand and ready to head to your car and drive home, and you're wondering about dinner tonight. Let me just tell you something. Just Love Coffee Cafe has two locations in the area, one on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville and one on Hughes Road in Madison. So here's just one thing off their menus. Of course, they got all the coffee in the world out there, all the gourmet blends, all the special roasts. They can do it, you know, with pour-over style and all that. Anyway, it's awesome coffee. But the food, man, roast beef and cheddar melt. Here's one of them. A roast beef and cheddar cheese on sourdough bread served with a dry side of sun-dried tomatoes, chips, and a pickle spear. Okay, so I'm just saying, Just Love Coffee Cafe, way more than coffee, some of the best food in the area. Check them out. Two locations, South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville and Hughes Road in Madison. Hey, so listen, going back to this topic of what can states do? What happens in vaccine mandates? What happens in federal overreach? Do you have a say-so? And you do. Just had a caller who heard that government contractors could also be required to get the vaccine. Well, keep in mind, President Biden has given a speech. For the majority of what he said about vaccine mandates, it's nothing but a speech, all right? What that basically means is there's nothing enforceable yet because he has issued no orders and his enforcement mechanisms are not in place. So for the most part, if you are in a private sector job, not an executive branch, not a military job, but if you're in a private sector job, like, I don't know, just, you know, XYZ company, and XYZ company says, we're mandating the vaccine because Biden said so. No, the reality is they chose to do so because the Biden administration has given them nothing to require it yet. All right. Now, the caller heard that government contractors could be required. Yes, that's true. My recollection, and so forgive me, whoever that caller was, I am going from memory here. But yes, my recollection was all executive branch employees, the military, and contractors who contract with those entities are going to be required under the mandate to get the vaccine. Now, contractors are private entities. So it's going to be like, just I'm going to name one because I'm not picking on any certain company. I'm just going to name one. Let's say Raytheon. Let's say Raytheon is going to have a mandate, all right? Raytheon does a lot of government contracting. Well, Raytheon is going to wind up having to do so, but they're going to be in a position of having their arm twisted eventually. Because they're going to wind up having to deal with contract preferences. They're going to wind up having to deal with limited access to federal facilities because of mandates. So I can see where some of these issues are going to be wind up bleeding into the private sector contractors. And so, yes, that's true. The mandate is not technically government imposed yet, but it's going to wind up being government arm twisting. And so that's why you're going to see some defense contractors already doing it. But nonetheless, it's still their choice at this point. All right, listen, I'm going to take a break from all that and go to a call. I got Jeff from Indiana. So I've had Steve from Tennessee. Now I got Jeff from Indiana. Hey, Jeff, what's up, Muddy? How you doing today?
Hey, Phil. Doing pretty good.
Good, good, good. Good to hear from you. What's going on, man?
Now, this girl that got raped in the high school bathroom.
Yeah.
And they didn't press charges. This kid didn't go to juvie, or they just shoved it under the rug like nothing happened?
Well, they tried to shove it under the rug, but the parents of the young lady were able to provide incontrovertible evidence. They had a rape kit done by a medical professional within 24 hours, and it confirmed what they had been saying. And so charges were pressed. In the meantime, the kid's out on bond, and they shipped him off to a different school to get him out of that school environment. And apparently he assaulted another female in the other school.
How do you get on bond from a rape charge?
Somebody
should lose their job on this one. This is, this prosecutor or whoever's in charge of this, the juvie officer, it's just crazy. I would be suing the school.
Absolutely, and they should.
They have custody of your kid. If anything happens, they're just like being in jail. You're responsible for that person. So
absolutely. Yeah, if you think about it, Jeff, role. what happened here too was, and my recollection from reading one of the two articles that I've seen on this was that the school system put a policy in place to allow gender neutral bathrooms, and that's why this kid who claims gender fluidity, meaning he goes back and forth between being a male and a female, he was wearing a skirt that day, so he went into the women's room and then he raped a young lady while he was in there. It's the school's policies that allowed that kind of access for him. She had no privacy, no security, no inability to get away, apparently. And then on top of that, the school system was enhancing its policies and was announcing to the world that there's been no recorded or documented issues with these gender-neutral bathrooms, so quit complaining. In the meantime, they knew full well this had already happened. And that's why the father of this girl was actually arrested at a school board meeting for protesting, because they were trying to shove it under the rug and pretend it didn't happen when it was still pending before the DAs at the time. It's just amazing, Jeff. It's just amazing.
Yeah. The people in charge of this school and everything should start resigning or be thrown out, one or the other, because they should have the pantsuit off of them. And I hope they get every penny.
I hope they do too, for her sake and for the fact that we need to also see this kind of thing be made an example of. Hey, Jeff, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you as always. You always have good content. All right, listen, so folks, let me tell you about a few things that are happening around here. Do you remember me telling you? By the way, the phone lines are open. You want to call in? Call in, 866-494-9866. Tell me what's on your mind. Right now we're talking about what can your elected officials do at any level? Well, you know, I'm just the mayor of a small town. Do something. Well, you know, I'm just on the school board. Do something. You know, I'm just a state legislator. What can I do against the federal government? You can do a lot. Here's an article right here. It came out of Del Norte, California. Del Norte, California. A little newspaper called The Triplicate in Del Norte, California reports that the City Council of Crescent City on 12 October, that was today, that was this morning. This story came out this morning. That's the kind of research, by the way, that we do on this show. I've got a show that broke this morning on the little bitty newspaper called The Triplicate in Del Norte, California. The City Council of Crescent City voted at its meeting last week to send a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom and other state officials expressing their opposition to a vaccine mandates. Keep in mind, vaccine mandates in California have ramped up because the governor, Gavin Newsom, feeling very empowered by having won his recall election, has issued the first in the nation mandate for school systems for students to get vaccinated. Well, this letter was drafted by the mayor and says literally, and signed off on the council, they voted on it. We are writing to you because we're concerned about the recent push in the state of California to mandate healthcare vaccine or mandate novel coronavirus vaccines for healthcare professionals, correctional staff, educators, and children in schools. And they went on to say they believe it would fuel a hesitancy to receive the vaccine because it's a forced issue and takes away the ability of people to make decisions for themselves. That, by the way, is a small town in California pushing back against the governor. You can do that, people. That can happen. Don't think for a second it can't. What else can happen, Phil? Well, I'll tell you. How about this? This is kind of funny. I thought this was an old story because it turns out it was an old story that got renewed. Have you seen the fight going on between the lieutenant governor and the governor in Idaho? Idaho. So the Idaho governor, this would be, when did that first happen? I think it happened in, it happened in 2020. The Idaho governor left the state on business. And while he was gone, the lieutenant governor, who by law has to step in and be the top official in his absence, the lieutenant governor, a Janice McGeachin, both of these are Republicans, by the way, she immediately issues an executive order as the acting governor to rescind mask mandates. That didn't go over very well. The governor returned and overturned hers. Well, for the second time in the last few days here, the lieutenant governor acting as governor in the absence of Governor Brad Little once again stepped in and issued a ban on vaccine mandates. And so she literally issued a vaccine mandate ban, disallowing vaccine passports and mandates by all entities. And of course, Governor Little, the moderate Republican, says he'll be back in the state very soon and plans immediately to rescind it. This has been ongoing for a while. Back in 2020, when Governor Brad Little did a lot like what Governor Ivey did and declared certain businesses essential and some non-essential, ordered that bars be shut down. Turns out the lieutenant governor's family, they own a tavern in Idaho Falls, and she just reopened it. In defiance, she's lieutenant governor. She just defied the governor. I'm just telling you, people, you do not have to just sit idly by and go, well, it's the federal government. I don't know what we can do. I got a caller on line five. Let me go ahead before I finish up these last stories that I've got. I got one from CNN, another one from AL.com about an Alabama connection. But let me take Michelle from Huntsville. Hey, Michelle, Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. How are you today?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. What can I do for you?
I just wanted to let you know that Boeing just announced their mandate, and they are mandating the vaccine for all U.S. employees. It doesn't matter if you're a bookkeeper, if you're an engineer, whatever, all U.S. employees.
Wow. So that, when did that come out, Michelle? Here to like today or something, or was it recently? When?
It was at 1:30 Eastern time.
Okay. Well, there's some breaking news. Michelle, thanks for that. I'm sorry to hear it. Are you or someone you know a Boeing employee?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, tell me how you feel about it, Michelle. I mean, you're calling into the show, so obviously you've got an opinion. What are your thoughts on this? Do you intend to follow through on it?
We intend to fight back as hard as we can because we feel like this is a complete overreach, and right now we're just really frustrated that we live in Alabama, which has the reputation of being one of the freest states in this country, and our governor and our state legislators aren't standing up for us.
Well, I tend to agree with that. You know, when I see things they do that I like, I'll say that too, but right now what I'm seeing is a complete absence of activity on their part. And you're right, Michelle, I'm sad to say it, especially having served down there for 8 years with some of the folks that are still there now. So let me ask you this real quickly before we go to a break, Michelle. Does Boeing give you the opportunity for things like religious exemptions or conscientious exemptions or medical exemptions at all, or is it just straight out get the shot?
So they are saying right now you can apply for an accommodation, but this kind of just trickled down yesterday, so they're really still trying to figure things out. And there's going to be some separate entity that will evaluate religious and medical exemptions, but they laid out the timeline. If you're going to get this shot, you have until this day to start. If you're going to get this one, you need to start by this day. And on December 9th. If you haven't gotten it, you will be separated from this company.
Wow. And that's going to be, you know, there's going to be some folks that are, kind of more off the street type hires, but there's also going to be a lot of highly skilled labor in that mix too, that they're going to lose. And I think that's going to be something that's going to cause Boeing. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Michelle, I appreciate you getting us up to date here. Thanks for being in the audience, and my best to you and yours as you decide how best to handle this and the way forward. That's breaking news right there, folks. Someone with a Boeing connection saying they just got told today at 1:30 that Boeing is saying nationally that we will do this. All right, we got to take a short break right now. Phone lines are going to stay open, though. You want to call in, it's 866-494-9866, but we're going to take this short break. When we come back from this, we will wrap up the day, get you on your way, headed out into a community that literally is one of the finer places to live. Being here in Alabama, still better than California, but we still got work to do. And we need our elected officials to not get apathetic. They have got to know that despite the fact that they live in a conservative state, you have to fight to keep conservatism active. Gotta do it. Gotta speak up. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, in the final few minutes of today's show. It's been a full one. We have run the gamut of the Triple Dipper. We talked about today free and fair media being so important, the fact that cancel culture is being canceled, and then we've been dealing with the fact that local and state action can take place with regards to vaccine mandates and other federal overreaches. I got a couple of callers on the line. Not sure I can get to both of them. Let me just try, first of all, with Aaron from Huntsville on line two. Hey, Aaron, Phil Williams here from Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
Hey, Phil, how are you? Hey,
I'm good. How are you doing?
Quick point on the vaccine mandates, and particularly with Boeing and your last caller and other employers that are putting up mandates. I hope you know and your listeners know that they are responding to the executive order that Biden put in place on all federal contractors. So it's not just going to be Boeing that's putting this in place. It's going to be anybody that receives federal contracts. They've really put these federal contractors, these private employers, in a terrible, terrible position because they're stuck between whether they want to put a mandate in place or not. They're going to be required to if they get any federal dollars.
Period. Yeah, I agree, Aaron. That's something I was covering just a few minutes ago. Is the fact that these mandates are not fully in effect for private sectors yet, but the arm twisting is, and I think what they're going to be facing here is the fact that that's their source of income. That's how they built a company was government contracting, and the idea that they could be shut out of facilities, shut out of meetings, have their contracts non-renewed. Those are all the kind of things that could start happening even now.
So I encourage people like myself out there who are going to go up against their company. I mean, be cognizant that your company probably doesn't want to do this. And so I'm forming a group at my company, and we're going to stand our ground. But you know, we're going to be cognizant of our employer's position in all this. Not a good one.
Well, I think that's fair. I think they need to hear from you, but they also need to know that it's not that you don't love them as an employer, but you at the same time, you got to do what you got to do. And I hope you'll keep us posted on that, by the way. As you get this group together, and you don't have to name the name of the company, but I'd love to know how it's going for you, Aaron. I appreciate that. All right, we had one caller on line five that we couldn't get to, so just to thank you, you can call in tomorrow. Listen, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We are here for you 2 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Solid conservative and just plain right. We're going to keep doing it like we do it here on WVNN and live online at rightsideradio.org. Coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin, who's going to lay it on pretty thick for you because he knows what he is doing. Listen, folks, I love this job. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a